call is now being recorded.
Welcome to the second installment in a series of podcasts created by the International Association of Fire Chiefs Company Officer Leadership Committee. The IAFC provides numerous opportunities for company officers to engage, learn, and grow professionally. As a member of the IAFC for over 3 years, I encourage you to join so you can access the network and resources the International Association of Fire Chiefs provides. To learn more about a company officer membership, please visit IAFC.org/company officer. Today's podcast is titled, The Role of the Company Officer in Creating a Culture of Safety. It is our pleasure to have Dr. Bert Clark on the line today. Dr. Clark spent over 45 years in the fire service. He recently retired from the National Fire Academy, where he served as a management science program chair. He holds a doctorate degree in adult education. In addition, he is a nationally certified Fire Officer 4, Chief Fire Officer Designee, and a proud Eagle Scout mentor. He recently authored his first book titled, I Can't Save You, But I'll Die Trying, The American Fire Culture, published by Premium Press America. Dr. Clark, welcome. It has often been said in many circles of the fire service that firefighters are needlessly being injured and dying. My question to you, sir, what is the role of the fire officer in creating a culture of safety? And once again, welcome on the line today.
Damon, thank you very much for inviting me to do this podcast. I really do appreciate this opportunity to address this very important question about firefighter safety and survival, specifically as related to the company officer. The book I just wrote is really the culmination of my 45 years in the fire service, and it's a collection of 45 essays that I've written. And what it forced me to do was to really look at my personal philosophy, if you will. And the conclusion I came to is that, you know, I can't save you, but I'll die trying. And I think all of us in the fire service are faced with that dilemma. When a citizen dies in a fire, something went wrong. We all think that we are going to go save them, but the reality is firefighters on fire trucks are not the most efficient and effective way to save people from fire. You know, all of our equipment, all of our training, we're trained to do that, but it's much better if the fire doesn't start to begin with. It's a lot better if the people are out of the house when we get there because of their smoke alarm. And if the fire is extinguished by a sprinkler head, more power to us. Now, a company officer's job, I think, is to make sure all of his personnel go home at the end of every shift. That's a great slogan, everybody goes home. But it's translating or using that slogan as the driving force of how that company officer molds his or her crew. And the culture that he or she instills in each member, that every firefighter on an apparatus does every task 100% correct 100% of the time. That's a very high bar of performance level. But when the employee, meaning the firefighter, when their personal survival is on the line, anything less is unacceptable. And I think one of our challenges today is we really don't analyze our activity until something goes wrong. And then it's a big shock. Oh, my goodness, how did this happen? And we want to go back to basic training. Well, if we wait for somebody to get killed or injured to go back to basic training, what's that saying is that we're not performing correctly most of the time. So everyone on a fire truck has to think about and review their skill set and what they're executing on every incident, whether there's an injury or not. Did I put all my gear on correctly? Did I put my seatbelt on? Did we lay a supply line correctly? Did we run the route correctly? Did the driver stop at all the stop signs and stop lights correctly? Did all the equipment properly work? Was there water in the tank? Was there air in the SCBA? So all of those hundreds of thousands of things that must be executed on every alarm, we have to make sure we're executing properly. Because when we lose at the game, lives are lost. It's not like a football game that you get to redo. So we need to stack the game up front and make sure we're doing everything right. And if that company officer, in terms of what they are willing to let their firefighters do, if 70 is the only passing score that that company officer identifies, then you're only going to get 70% right. 70% right cannot be the passing score in a life and death occupation. So that company officer is pivotal for setting that standard for those firefighters to perform at. And if you have a detail guy coming into your company that protects a particular shift, you need to let them know what your standard is, not what their regular officer is where they came from. What is your standard of performance? And hold them accountable to that before the apparatus even leaves the station. You know, what do you expect of your personnel? And I don't know that we do that. I don't know that company officers take on that level of responsibility, but it sure is their duty to do that. So, Damon, I'll wait for some feedback on those observations.
So, Dr. Clark, and once again, thanks for those wonderful words. My takeaway from this brief conversation is that, as it relates to the company officer, what we say, a comprehensive focus on fire prevention and training and expectations need to be some of the top priorities that today's company officer needs to instill in his or her everyday supervisory capacity to ensure that the men and women who protect us as citizens go home in the same capacity that they came to work.
Absolutely. You said it very succinctly. I appreciate that. You need to write more, Damon.
Yes. Well, once again, Dr. Clark, we can go on and on with this this conversation as it relates to the culture of safety in the fire service. It's an important topic, and as we all can agree in the fire service, while we want to do our best to protect our citizens, the number one priority is to also ensure that we go home once again in the same capacity that we came to work and continue to find ways to reduce the number of injuries and deaths among American Fire Service personnel. On behalf of the men and women of the International Association of Fire Chiefs and Company Officer Leadership Committee, we thank you for your hard work and dedication. You recently retired after 45 years of service, but it sounds like you are going to continue advocating on behalf of the fire service as it relates to safety. And it's like you with numerous years of experience in the fire service, both in the academic and the practitioner setting, to continue with the good work that you do. And I personally thank you for what you do, sir.
Well, again, thank you very much, Damon, and you're exactly right. Just because I retired, I'm not done. I've always tried to do better. I've always tried to find ways to do better. From the first fire I went on to the last class I had at the National Fire Academy, and now my focus is going to be, that's why I wrote the book. So there's a legacy that I can leave behind in terms of helping young firefighters or new firefighters, and hopefully even the public will read my book. Because we need the public's help. The public needs to understand that the chances of us saving them are not that great. They need to take some responsibility for their own fire safety, and you do that by not having the fire to begin with, and then making sure you have working smoke detectors throughout your home, and really, new homes need to have fire sprinklers put in them. Because the environment we're creating is much more dangerous than it is now. And with all those baby boomers getting so old, we're going to be pretty forgetful pretty soon. And we're going to be cooking in the kitchen and, you know, set house fires. And if there's no sprinkler head to put it out, we're the ones that are going to be the victims pretty soon here. So we need the built environment to change. And the fire service needs to lead that charge. And I'm hoping that my book is read by the general population and certainly firefighters. And that's the message I want to send around the country. with whatever time I have left to do this meaningful, wonderful work and answer my fire service calling. So thank you, DeMont, for this opportunity.
You're quite welcome. Once again, to our listeners, the book by Dr. Clark is titled, I Can't Save You, But I'll Die Trying, The American Fire Culture, published by Premium Press America. Go out, purchase the book, read it, analyze it, and more importantly, execute it in your day-to-day functions as a supervisor in the fire service. Thank you. Have a good day.